Okay, first off, thank you very much for doing this interview. We definitely appreciate it. We definitely love the music, so.
Totally, man.
So first off, everyone wants to know what's up with the new album, Psychology 101.
Psychology 101 is my new Collabos album. You know, the first Collabos album was called Tech N9ne Collabos, Misery Loves Company, MLK. This one is called Tech N9ne Collabos, Psychology 101. And it really means like the study of being sick, the study of being sick lyrically. You know what I mean? So I had to really reach out to some folks that could really go on the mic. And the album starts out with the title track, Psychology 101, featuring Crooked Eye and Chino XL, man. One from the West Coast, one from the East Coast, and me being from the Midwest. You know what I mean? So it turned out really, really well. It's a beautiful way to start the album. It's a very powerful song. We got Crazy Bone that came through on the album from Bone Thugs and Harmony. He came through on Midwest Choppers Part 2. Also on Midwest Choppers Part 2 is a newcomer by the name of K. Dean that's hardcore from Kansas City. You know what I mean? Then we got Messy Mar. He came through, man, and the rest of the cats that came through are people in my area that I really deem as hardcore lyrically, man. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, definitely. The MLK album definitely was one of the better albums as far as the collaboration sense goes.
Totally.
You know, there's a lot of collaboration albums out there that lack, you know? And we definitely appreciate that,
man.
Album.
Well, when I say we, I mean I and the folks around me at Strange Music, when we do a product, man, we just don't throw anybody on. These beats really have to say these people's names. I'm a weirdo, man. I just can't say, I just want to throw this guy on this track. It has to really say his name. You know what I mean? So that's what we try to do with all our albums and treat every song like our baby and not just album fillers, man. And that's why they come out like that.
Right.
Actually, the Tech N9ne Collabos albums were supposed to be like mixtapes. But I have so much to say and so many beats around me. You know, why not do original beats and original albums, man, you know, excuse me, as opposed to everybody else's beats. I know people want to hear me over a lot of industry beats, they want to see how I wreck them, maybe they'll get it one day, but until then, we're going to keep doing Tech N9ne Collabos.
Nice. That's definitely good to hear. So, tell us about the album that's set to release around Halloween. What's that one?
Wow, that one's called K.O.D. If I could tell you what it means, I would love to tell you, but we're having like a contest to see if anybody could guess it. But if you listen to the sampler that we were about to drop, you know, saying the Psychology, it was the Strange Music Sampler 09, and has a lot of songs on it that we have to come this year. And if you listen to the three songs at the end for KOD, it'll give you a good idea in what direction I'm going, and maybe it'll come a little bit more clear to you what it stands for. And it's going to be the thing that's going to be different about KOD, that's different from any of my other albums, is that all my other albums, I write my life. This is what I'm going through, whether I'm partying, whether I'm sad, whether I'm with a chick, you know what I'm saying, whatever. You know what I mean? This is my life. I write my life because that's what I know better than anybody else, myself. So with KOD, all I can say is going to really allow me to let my imagination run wild. I can really, really, really use my imagination on this album as opposed to just telling you my life like I do, which is wonderful. But now I get to really, truly use my imagination. And I got songs that I've used my imagination before on past songs, but this whole album is going to be dedicated to my imagination and how wild it can run.
Nice. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You know, I remember you saying at one point that you were married to the music, that you're willing to make a lot of personal sacrifice to make your music life happen.
I did.
Are you still on track with those kind of ideals?
Yeah, man. It's like I've sacrificed everything, you know, spent time with my family, away from my kids, man. You know, that's always hard. When you listen to Ever Ready, the song called The Rain, I'm still experiencing that. You know, I was lucky enough to go to my little girl's birthday, March 25th, just past last week, Rain. You know, she just turned 10, and I happened to be out there for the Pay Dues show on the 28th. And the 25th, I got to kick it with my little one for her birthday, and it was wonderful. We did the town, painted the town red, man. It was wonderful. But I'm always gone away, making a way for them, so put them through college when they get old enough, and so their kids can be well off, you know what I mean? So I'm working for their future. And with that being said, I get taken away from them because I spend a lot of time with my fans because they are the reason why I can do so much for my children. You know what I mean? And I will always have that pain as long as I'm on this quest.
For sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, and along those lines, you know, being in the industry and, you know, riding the industry, really, how do you feel? I mean, there's a lot of changes going on these days, you know, but how do you feel the music industry these days is changing, especially in light of, like, recent readily available means of, you know, money-making as an artist or a label, you know, whether you're touring or, you know, selling your own product line or whatever?
Well, a lot of the majors are on the decline. When we're on the incline, we've been in control of our destiny since we started this strange music thing, me and my partner Travis O'Gwynn. And it's like we tour extensively, and that's the key to gathering your fans, man. A lot of these major artists, man, they don't even do shows like that. You know, if last time I checked on Polestar, when you check Polestar, those are the tours that people do. It tracks, you know, how many people come to your shows, how much money you make and everything, Polestar, how much you tour. And when you look at that chart, I would call it saying Jay-Z was first in touring, that was Kanye, and then it was me, independent little old me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's weird. You know what I'm saying? Out of all these artists, you mean to tell me all these people do are summer jams and stuff like that? Some of them tour, you know what I mean? But a lot of them don't know the game. They don't know. They don't have merchandise. They don't have anything. You'd be so surprised on how many of these people on television don't know the merchandise game. You know what I'm saying? They don't know that's a cash cow. We stay relevant, man. You know what I'm saying? So even when the economy's bad, we're doing our thing at Strange Music, and it hasn't affected us.
Right.
And that's crazy to say. When you talk to Travis O'Gwynn, my partner, he can really, really elaborate on it. He's a genius at it, but we've been blessed to be able to stay in our lane and maintain our lane.
For sure, for sure. You know, and that brings me to my next question. Is like, you know, you tour a lot. You tour a hell of a lot. And you pump out albums like crazy. Do you think that it's that extra sense of maybe work ethic or something you have, or do you just maybe think that maybe the majority of most musicians or artists out there are just maybe being lazy?
Well, I think that I recognize that you have to work hard to make it happen. And when I say make it happen, and you wonder what it is, my whole quest is for the whole world to know my music. Now, it's hard to do that when you're not on TV. I'm not on television. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to do that when you're not on the radio. I'm not on the radio. You know what I'm saying? We're doing this underground. We're doing this with our own money. We're putting our money into other things as opposed to paying a DJ $20,000 or whatever to play my music so-and-so times a week. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's the work ethic for one. You have to have it. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of these cats might seem lazy. You know what I'm saying? When Tupac was around, man, he was going. You know what I'm saying? I picked up a lot of that from Pac back in the day. You know, so I did a song with him back in the day called Thugs Get Lonely Too, and I happened to be on the Gang Related soundtrack in 98, his last screen performance. You know what I'm saying? And being around those kind of people and seeing them on the sidelines watching, you learn a lot of things. You learn a lot of things from Tupac. You learn a lot of things about the independent game from E-40, you know what I'm saying? The pioneers, man, the people who really do it. You learn a lot about the street team from Steve Rifkin, you know what I'm saying, over at Loud Records back in the day, you know what I'm saying? So that's a lot of stuff that me and my partner picked up and we want. And, you know, back to the basics, man. You get out there and you shake hands and kiss babies. It's about being a politician, man. Obama wouldn't have won if he was just sitting at home with his wife, man. He had to get out here and be seen, and that's what touring is. Even if, you know what I'm saying, our first show in San Diego way back in the day had 7 people in it. We did that show like it was 7,000. Next time we came back, it was 50. Next time we came back, it was 300. And those 300 told somebody. Now when we go there, we sell out. You know what I'm saying? We did the same thing in Denver. You know what I mean? And it's so crazy how big the following is in Denver. We started on the Ogden. Years ago, we started at the Ogden before they expanded on it. I think the first Ogden probably held 800 to 900 people. Then they expanded, and then it held like 1,400 to 1,600 or something like that. And then we had to start selling two shows like Friday and Saturday because all our fans were gathering. So we moved from the Ogden after so many years to the Fillmore. Fillmore holds like 4,000 if you push it. We sold it out like 8 times in a row, man. That's how we did it. Now, when we come back to Denver, we're doing Red Rock. It's growth. It's about being out there, man, that work ethic, just like you said.
Is this your first time doing Red Rocks, by the way?
Well, this would be the first time me doing Red Rock as me being the headliner.
Right.
You know, I did it a long time ago with ICP and Cottonmouth Kings and Bone Thugs and Harmony on the Wicked Wonka tour.
That's right. Okay. I remember that tour.
Yeah, years ago, man. So I'll get to be there for myself now. Growth, man. It feels so wonderful.
Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my last sort of industry sort of question, one that we as pirates always ask. How do you feel about music piracy in the digital age?
I love it. I'm going to tell you why I love it. A lot of people say, if you don't buy it, it's stealing. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you something. I get so much work because of the internet, because of people downloading the music and checking to see if they like it. You know, since there was no way I'd be able to work with an artist by the name of Ceza. Ceza, you spell it C-E-Z-A. He's out of Turkey. There was no way I'd be able to do that. He wouldn't have known about me. We didn't have international distribution way back then. You know what I'm saying? I would never been able to do a song with a guy named Ceza in Turkey, you know what I'm saying, without piracy or without downloading, without the internet, you know what I'm saying? People, they can come from all different walks of life and sample your music or hear your music and say, wow, I'm a fan. So that's why we did the Absolute Power thing. When Absolute Power came out in 2002, I think it was, I don't know, we let people download it for free. That's how much we loved the album and how sure we were about it. And me and Travis were like, we always stood behind this. If you make a quality product, no matter what, they will buy it. We put a lot into our artwork. We put a lot extra into the music, and sometimes we give bonus CDs or DVDs, you know what I'm saying, stuff that people would love to have in their possession. Now, if they download the album and you only have 2 songs on there, they're not going to buy that album. You do quality stuff, stop slouching, and then maybe you'll feel like I feel. There's no way that I could do a song with a guy out of Australia named Fig Kid and did a video and everything. It was the number one song over in Australia. You know what I mean? There's no way I would be able to do that. There's no way I would be able to go do Roskilde Festival last year with Tool and Kanye and Guns N' Roses. Everybody was there, man. I performed with a guy by the name of LOC out of there. You know what I'm saying? Liam O'Connor, he's really big over there in Denmark, man. There's no way I would have been able to do it if it wasn't for that.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's funny. I actually know LOC. Funny.
That's crazy.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, on another note, musical note, who else in the underground scene, you know, not just hip hop, but any music underground, do you feel is making a stronger presence these days, or is coming up in the game, or has always made a strong presence in the game?
Man, I'm seeing a lot of new cats coming out, man. Like when you look at the Paid Dues tour, you know, the top name was Atmosphere, then it was me. You know what I'm saying? Then it was Murder. You know what I'm saying? These people are actually grinding. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm on tour and I'm rolling through these towns and I see the marquees and they Tech N9ne tonight, then Atmosphere next week, everywhere. You know what I'm saying? These guys are hustling, doing that underground role, man, and it's wonderful, man, to see people like that, to see people like MERS, to see people like Slug of Atmosphere come up, to see tech guys like Tech N9ne and Travis O'Gwynn and Chris Calico and Cut Calhoun come up and sell over 1 million copies collectively, independent, man. It's amazing, and it's a blessing to be able to have a forum for that.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, here. Kabosh. What's going on with Kabosh?
Kabosh, man. I'm going to tell you like this. It's an idea that I've had for a long time. Me and Chris have a lot of songs loaded but not locked because we have to assemble a band. Now, in order to assemble a band, we have to have time. What Tech N9ne does not have is a lot of time because I'm always on a tour. We did three tours last year, three headlining tours last year. You know what I mean?
Right.
No time to do it. You know what I'm saying? This year, I have two albums coming out, one April 28th, one October 27th. You know what I mean? Now, hopefully, this year, we'll be able to, I have a drummer in mind. I have a steel drummer in mind. I have a harmonica player in mind. I have a violinist in mind. I'm talking, I want this to be crazy, man. And it's a stipulation that you have to be in the group, but I won't say it, man. But it stands for killing America's beliefs on society's hood. Like, they don't believe hood cats can rock out this hard. And with that being said, you have to have a hardcore band. You can't be looked upon as, they want to be, they sound like this. They're trying to be like Metallica with those riffs. They're trying to do the Slipknot thing with the speedy drum. Nah, man, it's got to be our own thing. And with that being said, I have to recruit the right people, and I haven't had time to do it, but I'm going to try my best to lock it down this year.
Definitely look forward to that, that's for sure. And yeah, with things like that, you should definitely take your time to make sure you get the right product.
Yes,
sure.
Man, and people have been waiting on it. So every album, we try to do a song similar to the direction we would go. I was like, give them a taste of Kibosh. It's more rock feel, you know what I'm saying? Willing to let my fans know that I haven't forgot about Kibosh, and I know they're waiting, you know what I mean? But I'm going to do it.
For sure.
Calico is really hyped about it. We've been hyped about it for years, man. For years. We've been writing songs for Kibosh for like 4 years or more.
Any word on Chris Calico if he's coming out with his second album? We definitely
yes,
love
Genius,
that one.
Genius is about to drop. He just finished it 2 weeks ago. The album is called Genius. I don't actually know the date, but it's this summer.
Nice.
And it is totally somewhere else, man. He took it from Vitiligo to this. He took it, you know, you would think, you know, Chris Calico, yeah, he's a really diverse guy, but, man, he went all the way on this one. Genius, man, he really did what he felt, as opposed to, you know, doing something that he feels like will be right for the radio or or right for rock and roll or right for rap. No, man, it's just, he just did music, man, and it's all over the world with it, you know what I'm saying? It's everything. Like, we called Vitiligo a roller coaster ride. I don't even know what you want to call this. This is a trip around the solar system or something. I don't know, man. It's just insane. It's called Genius, and it's coming out this summer.
Nice, nice. Along the lines of, you know, we were talking about metal and the hip-hop there, I didn't even realize until recently that Ill Bill's new album was in conjunction with Strange Music. Is that correct?
No, we didn't do the deal. I think they found something better, I guess. You
really?
Know what I mean?
That's a shame.
Yeah, and we're still family. LaCoca for life, you know what I mean?
For sure.
I think they signed with a different label, and I wish him the best all day, all night. As a matter of fact, I'm going to see him on the 1st, I think. I think that's tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they'll be in Kansas City with Cottonmouth Kings, man. So I get to see LaCoca perform live. I get to see Swain and all the guys, Ill Bill and Everlast and everybody. Necro is going to be wonderful, man. No hard feelings. You know what I'm saying? That's still our family.
It's all business, you know?
What's that?
It's all business. It's all business.
It's all business, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, let's see here. I have a couple of questions from listeners that I took. So
okay.
These are going to kind of jump random. First, I'll just start simple. Any new games or movies that, you know, we can expect some new tech flavor on, because that seems to be happening more so than not, you know?
Yeah, I just did the red carpet thing in L.A., man, with the whole Jackass cast. I did a movie with Preston Lacey, you know what I'm saying, of Jackass. And I got to meet Johnny Knoxville and everybody, man, on the red carpet like a couple weeks ago, man. And the movie's called The Life of Lucky Cucumber. And it came out straight to DVD on St. Patty's Day, and it's brand new. It's pretty damn funny and weird. It's shot documentary style.
Nice, nice, good stuff.
Yeah, that's one movie that's coming out that I'm doing. As far as games, I don't know just yet.
Right.
I think that's the newest thing movie-wise.
Okay. Next question. This is a good one. Is there any inspiration to the random things you have painted on your forehead at shows? I've noticed that he's noticed a different array throughout the years and wonder if it had purpose at the time of creation or if it was something as simple as that just looks cool.
No. It has to be how I feel at that time. You know what I mean? And back in the day when I used to be on ecstasy, I almost died on ecstasy pills. I took 15 pills in one night. You know, being in spiritual pain, I just wanted to escape. And I didn't do it to kill myself or anything like that. I just didn't want the feeling to stop because it gave me a feeling of euphoria. And I've been clean for like 2.5 years. But back then, I would get so gone off of it. Whenever you saw a spurn on my head, it was like the day after I did like 8 pills or something. Or 5 pills or something, you know. I'd always spun out on stage, you know. It was like you would see words like sick on my head because I had done so many and drunk so many that I felt so yucky. You know what I mean? A lot of people take it like sick lyrically. Yes, it is, that too. But it has to be exactly what I feel at that time. Now, when I was just at Pay Dues on March 28th, I had war on my head. I felt like we had to go out there and war. It was a war to get these new people to know my music because a lot of people that were there never heard of Tech N9ne. You know, well, they heard of Tech N9ne but never seen him live or really listened to the music. It was a different crowd. So I feel like I was at war to get these people to really feel what we did. And we did that. I have to feel exactly what's on my head. You know what I mean? I have to, so when Scenario's painting my face, he said, what word are we going to do today? Every night, what word are we going to do? And I'll sit there for a minute, and I'll say, pain. If something happened with my mom that day, earlier that day, if I find out she had another seizure or something, she's back in the hospital, I might put pain across my head. If my woman says something to me that messed me up, I might put hurt across my head. It always means something.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the final question, how do you perceive hip-hop, and what does hip-hop mean to you personally?
How do I perceive hip-hop? I see hip-hop as my and a lot of other young and people, period, savior. You know, when you look at Mims, he said, music is my savior. I understand that, man. Because without this hip-hop music, I would not be a good guy, man. You know what I'm saying? I would have did bad things, and bad things would have happened to me. You know, I grew up, you know, in an area where you can have bad things happen to you if you get in the wrong circle. And for hip-hop to be able to get young people up out of poverty doing something positive like music is a wonderful thing. Even if the message is not positive in the music, the act of doing music to make money, to take care of your loved ones, to get out of anything illegal, to be able to take care of your babies and your baby's babies, that's a positive thing, even if the message in the rap is not positive. To be able to do that, hip-hop has made a way, just like the NFL, just like the NBA, hip-hop has made a way and showed the world that it could be a cash cow. Look at 50 Cent, look at Jay-Z, look at Eminem, look at Nelly, you know what I'm saying? Look at these people, look at Ludacris, you know what I'm saying? And the list goes on, you know what I mean? Hip-hop, to me, and how I see it, is a savior to many people from all walks of life. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, definitely. Totally. Okay, and okay. Well, apparently there's a last-minute question.
All right.
From one of our lovely lady DJs here.
I like lovely lady DJs.
And she wants to know if you wear boxers or briefs.
Thanks for making me.
I wear boxers because I like to let my nuts hang. You know what I mean? I don't like to have shit crunching on my nuts, man. I have to be able to breathe. I move a lot. I jump a lot. You know what I'm saying? I have to swing, baby. You know what I'm saying? So boxers are comfortable. to me and allow me to let myself hang, as opposed to being cooped all up. And, you know, I don't like to be cooped up. I like to be relaxed. So I won't wear Speedos or briefs or, you know, and there ain't nothing against people that do. You know, maybe they like to be compact. I'm not compact down there, so I want myself to be neat.
You're making her blush.
Yeah, and I buy Trojan Magnum. the gold one. You know what I mean? Walmart, boy, they love me. They see me coming. They're like, here comes the condom guy. Buy the 36-pack. All the time. He buys a 36-pack every week.
Nice. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you, brother.
For sure. And I'll definitely be at the show, man. So
let's go, man. Let's party. Caribou Lou for everybody, man.
Done deal, man. Done deal.
All right, bro.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Peace.